Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
We live?
Are we live?
Welcome to the Fred Film Radio Experience.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm Matt Micucci. A little bit of an alternative intro, because, you know, you get a little tired after years of saying the same thing.
You're the master. Start. I'm Joachim Phoenix in... You're Philip Seymour Hoffman,
right.
And I'm Joachim Phoenix. So I'm just going to question you all the time.
I don't know. You opened up a portal there. All right, so, guys, we're at the 76th Venice International Film Festival. I'm delighted to be here. It's going to rain soon. I've been saying that for a while. But
it ain't
going to
rain anymore.
Today, wow, that's a good reference, man.
I know, thank you.
Write in the comments below if you get that reference and smash that like button. But
subscribe.
We're having a great intense time watching so many films. We're missing some films too. We got to be honest. We can't watch everything. We can't split into different parts and go to different screening rooms at the same time. But I if you're okay with it, Nico,
tell me.
Let's get started. What do you think?
I think we should get started with the film that we did not watch, but we definitely study upon.
Right.
And we're talking about Steven Soderbergh, The Laundromat.
Right.
Steven Soderbergh, as we said earlier, the most prolific retired filmmaker ever.
Right.
And he's here in Venice in competition, so he's pretty good.
He's
I guess.
Retiring. Has he announced his retirement yet?
Again, probably. Maybe he's going to announce his own death. But anyway, like he has an amazing cast. This time around, we're talking about Meryl Streep, Gary Oldman, Antonio Banderas, Jeffrey Wright. I'm not reading. I memorized everything.
Right.
Long story short, the whole film is based on the Pulitzer Prize winning story by Jake Bernstein. Mm. And it's called, I have to read because it's a very long title. Secrecy World, Inside the Panama Papers Investigation of Illicit Money Networks and the Global Elite. That kind of, you know, sums it up a bit on its own.
Yeah.
And we have Meryl Streep going into this sort of Don Quixote-esque journey through investigation and seeing where his money went through. So it's Mexico, Central America, of course, the U.S. And we've been told it's the comedy drama,
comedy,
right?
Drama,
so
yeah.
That sounds pretty juicy.
Right.
I guess that's enough to be attracted to go and spend those 8 to 17 euros, depending where you are in Europe, to get a ticket. So
Steven Soderbergh is an interesting director, actually. But his films tend to be quite varied, I think. You know, if you consider Sex Lies, Videotape, and then he's gone on to make Ocean's 11.
I know, but
polar opposite.
I kind of really respect filmmakers that never, never sit, relax,
just
in
do
their
different
own
things.
Exactly.
Francois Truffaut, one of them.
Well, yeah.
One of those guys.
I mean, yeah, I love Soderbergh, but yeah, Truffaut is Truffaut. But
let's not
be diplomatic.
Right, let's be diplomatic. Write in the comment section below who you like better.
Do we have a comment section? Yes, we do.
I don't know. I don't know where we're alive. I don't know where we are.
Are we real?
Are we real? Is this the real life?
Or is it just fantasy? Open your...
Caught song. In a landslide.
I don't know that one. Do you know that? I'm the only guy that doesn't know about art. So, like, when everyone gets super drunk in a pub, I'm just, like, nodding and tapping my foot.
What's your drunk song?
I'll walk 500
miles.
Traditional song. Well, that's a pretty good pub song.
I say traditional... Anyway, Scottish song?
Scottish. Yalde.
Right. Nice. I interviewed Lynn Ramsey yesterday.
Oh, there
I
you
talked
go.
Talked about it already, so I can't really go back on that, but it's really great. I think she's fantastic.
She's fantastic.
All right,
fantastic.
So I'm going to snap out of the... But it's great. I love to do the Scottish accent. I'm from Ireland, so I do like Scotland. I grew up in Ireland anyways, but...
Celtic Brotherhood.
Right. And, I'm going to talk about a film now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about another competition film.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because... It's by a director named Yon Fan. And it's the, you know what? This film, number 7, Cherry Lane, is the first Hong Kong film in competition in Venice in almost a decade.
Wow.
Not only that, it's also his first film in almost a decade, pretty much. Not only that, it's also his first animation film. Not only that, it's a love letter to Hong Kong and cinema. It's crazy. So it's
continue.
A fantastic...
Continue. I want more than all of that. All right, okay.
By now, people have switched off. But It's great. It's a great animation. It's very immersive. So you may say that he's a little heavy-handed on some of it. You know, for an animation film, for people who aren't very used to seeing any animation films beside Walt Disney, they'll be shocked because this is actually more for an adult audience, I think. Well, especially because it is driven a lot by sexuality. In fact, it's driven a lot by sexuality, not by bisexuality.
Oh, it's the main force, you mean?
It's an engine in the movie. Also, it's set in the late 60s, you know, with all the tumultuous time in Hong Kong's history. So the fact that it's coming out now is very relevant because it's a very tumultuous time for Hong Kong now.
Exactly, yeah.
So you can imagine. But there's so many styles in it that, in fact, when I interviewed Yuan Fan today, it was probably one of my favorite interviews so far in Venice, he said that the mixture of he didn't call it an animation film. He called it a motion picture. Because there's so many different styles in it, and even the story itself is very original. It's a very bizarre love triangle, like the New Order song. But
today is really like music is
because we're nerds. That's what it is. We're music nerds.
I like to be cool sometimes. You know,
you just want to be cool.
Yeah, I want to be cool sometimes.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. No one is going to get that who's watching this. But anyways.
I didn't get it.
He was a professional wrestler when I was a kid. But anyways, he said that. So, great movie. It's very interesting. So, I think, 5 stars. 4 stars.
4 stars. Whoa. Wow. All right.
I'm exaggerating.
All right. Well, I have actually 4 stars for sure. And I'm talking about Costa Gavras' latest film. Adults in the Room.
Another legend.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, exactly. Talking about legends. It's based on pretty much the memoir published by Varoufakis, the finance minister, for that tumultuous time, you know, when the Greek crisis was not only economic anymore, but it was actually humanitarian, and they were trying to change everything.
Right.
And Varoufakis stayed in his position for 5 months and 17 days. I remember this specifically. And it's just insane to see what it means to be within the Eurogroup when they had to take those decisions with the Troika behind closed doors.
Yes.
Adults in the Room, we kind of like, because of that.
Right.
Where are the adults? I literally witnessed only bullies. Petty bullies. But it's beautiful because everything is being researched to the minutest details. So you could find, you know, if you want to like embark on this research and this project, you can go on Google and everything is out there. The power and the might actually of Costa Gavras was to render this book into a film with an amazing and such a solid screenplay. The performances are outstanding, and it's just really, it's got this sort of Russian epic into that. He's like constantly talked, but like you're just driven into the film. And yes, we think that we know a lot about the issue in the situation that like unraveled in the less than 3.5 years actually, but we don't.
We really don't.
And he says so much about us, about how we perceive politics, the way the media influences politics to a sickening level. So it's definitely a must-watch for me, and I strongly suggest to for. I think, I'm gonna say it. I think it's gonna win something.
It's gonna win something.
Yeah.
Wow, that's.
I hope so.
Well, you know.
I hope so.
It's good to hear that he's still with us. You know.
Good.
He's still
for going sure. It's strong. Like, I talked to him. It was
political filmmaker. He's Greek, so
let's do some self-publishing for me. Go and listen to the interview on Fred.fm. I talked to Costa Gavras. He's like amazing.
Right.
It was a really lovely conversation.
Okay. Great. So I've got a question for you.
Oh,
meanwhile, I enjoy some of the water that we have here at Fred Film Radio.
Oh, please, quench your thirst with Dolomia water.
This is good. So, all right, we needed that.
Fresh.
Anyways,
yes.
The next story that I want to tell you a story. Do you want to sit back, guys, listeners? Sit back and enjoy the story.
I'm back.
We've got people looking into the window. It's weird.
But
no,
anyway,
sit back. Seriously, sit back and enjoy the story.
Like, still
2 years ago.
I'm in frame. Okay.
Get out of the frame.
Okay.
It's my frame. 2 years ago, I was in the International Film Festival Rotterdam, and I met this filmmaker called Sana Kumar Sashidharan from India.
Yes.
And he had this film called Sexy Durga. Which, and now I meet him again at this festival, and he's got a new film in the Horizonte section called Shadow of Water.
Huh.
So, this film is a continuation of the themes that he dealt with in that film, which, by the way, had won back then the main award of the International Film Festival,
wow,
Rotterdam.
I actually haven't watched it, no.
It's quite an uncomfortable watch. Basically, it's a film that really has no conventional story. It's also mostly improvised because the idea, as he told me in my interview, in the interview that I recorded with him this morning, was that he wanted to capture reality in the moment, things as they happened, to actually arrive at some sort of truth. And the idea that drives it is really an investigation. Let me see if I can say this right. It's an investigation of a man's entitlement, the entitlement of a man's psyche over a woman. So basically, okay, it's just the concept of man feeling entitled over women. And I think that, you know, resonates universally, unfortunately. I think we've got to say, you know, we're two men, but we know what's going on. So, it's pretty interesting. And the reason why he continued with this subject is, like, I asked him, I said, why are you doing this? Why are you dealing with this again? And he was like, well, because it's really a never-ending issue. And so basically, if he ends up making a third movie, it'd be interesting, because in my own mind, it's like you could just play the movies back to back and it would just pretty much be the same theme and the same structure, but in its complete form, this entire body of work would kind of represent the sort of never-ending cycle of this issue. And so I think it's interesting. And, you know, getting exposure in the Venice Film Festival means that perhaps with this work, this film will allow him a bigger chance to expose his ideas and his opinions on this issue that he's obviously so passionate about.
Exactly.
But it was cool, right? That's, you know, I saw him 2 years ago in Rotterdam, and here we are. In Venice, one of the biggest film festivals in the world, still going strong.
He ain't been a slacker. He kept making films. That's good of him. And actually, the issue itself of the topic is definitely been touched upon by another film out of competition.
Right.
Self-explanatory Woman.
Oh.
So, a film made by Anastasia Mikova and Jan Artus Bertrand. So, and it's pretty much they collected more than 2,000 witnessing, and it's all like women all over the world, and they talked about so many different topics related to the concept of womanhood, and everything, of course, both politically and socially pretend. It's definitely very it's something odd as well as a sensation, because you see these women, and from the Aboriginal lady, the classic WASP lady from the US, is everything all together, and it's every single lady has definitely some universality in
right.
her, because we know what womanhood, even as men, as males, we are brought up on this earth by women,
right.
and we definitely have to always be in touch with our feminine side, and that's probably the next step in humanity.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to be feminine, all right? Stop being macho or
it's
whatever.
True, actually,
I'm talking to you,
and this
Kyle.
Kyle.
Do we know Kyles?
I don't know any Kyle.
Sorry. Any Kyle is all right. Like, you probably know that. But like, the other Kyle.
I agree because, you know, I think that the most appealing features in a man is femininity, and the most appealing feature in a woman for me is masculinity.
Good. Plato would love you. Yes.
All right. So what else are we going to talk about? You know, we're going to have to wrap this up soon, because we've got an interesting round table.
You better work, girl.
We've got an interesting round table coming
up. That's the cleanup version.
With directors of different festivals from all over the world. We've been doing a bunch of these round tables with experts in the field of film festivals and the film industry. This is really just something that we're starting out at this festival, but we figured that because Fred, do you know what Fred stands for?
Yes. After several years, I did learn it.
All right.
Film, radio, entertainment, and drugs. No, dialogue. Cut.
Who needs drugs when you can have dialogue?
Love is the most fulfilling drug ever.
Whatever. Love is
going,
a drug. That's a song too. But who
Look
sang
at my
it?
Hand.
Write
keep
in
going.
The comment below. So dialogue. So we're trying to get dialogues going about film festivals. This is a radio that's dedicated to film festivals, and we just thought, well, why not actually get a bunch of directors of film festivals together to try and understand what it is to for what it. film festival, the term film festivals means today, this day and age, especially with all the stuff that's going on all over the world.
It's needed, exactly.
Is it? Yeah. Exactly. So we're just going to try and see. We're going to record it. This is a recording that perhaps people will look at years from down the line when film festivals won't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Or when existence is extinguished, almost on its way out.
Yeah, dinosaurs will be back and we will
right.
be like...
Right, well, dinosaurs are still arguably around.
True.
Have you not seen the footage?
I've seen a crocodile.
All right. You have seen a crocodile?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so leave it at that. Anyways, I want to say also, I don't know if you want to mention a couple of titles that you've seen from the International Critics Week or...
Yes, I did watch from International Critics Week a very beautiful film by Shahan Ahmed. I'm talking about... I did learn it. Hold on. Al-Saidat Al-Bahar. Which means the goddess of the sea, but they translated it as scales, like scales, you know, like fish scales.
Right. Much easier.
Exactly. But it was a beautiful fairy tale, really, like almost like a contemporary mythology that she really felt attached to. And we're talking about roughly summing up, because I don't think, I think I can talk about it, but not that much. Not that extensively, not to give out any spoilers. We combine mermaids, cannibalism, the role of women in society, the liberation thereof, and everything really filmed in a beautiful black and white.
Right.
In a barren land that apparently was in Armenia, somewhere in Armenia, and it's really a first feature, by the way. Feature by Shahan, so it's really worth watching. Yeah.
I want to ask you one more thing. This is the last thing. Just a couple of words on Paolo Sorrentino's The New Pope. Because, I don't know if you heard, but the actual Pope was stuck in a lift for like half an hour.
When?
It was Sunday, right? Before he did the sermon.
No way.
Before he was going to do a service. On his way there, he got stuck in a...
That literally sounds like out of Sorrentino's screenplay. But
Stranger Than Fiction. But what about The New Pope? What can you tell me about it? Just a couple of words, because we don't have time.
Great cast. They're going to have fun. They're going to have two popes.
They're going to have two.
What else?
They're going to have fun, man.
It's in Italy. It's going to be good.
I wonder if...
can I say something? He showed us episode 2 and episode 7, which is very evil. But in a way... I can't really talk about it that much. Like, but
yeah, right. Yeah. But just on a scale from 1 to... from 0 to 100. No. Anyways,
A-.
A-. Damn, boy. That's a good score.
I know.
So we're out of time, guys. But I'm very happy that you joined us. You know, hopefully you had a good time.
Well, I mean, I work here, so.
Well, yeah. I'm happy that you joined us.
Thank you.
Well, I'm relatively happy. Let's not get over it.
All right. Well. It's not like let's discuss it. We're off the record then.
Hmm? Off the record.
Yes.
All right. Well, like adults in the room.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So after that, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment in the section below. Smash that like button. Follow all of our live videos from Venice. We're doing lots of them. Follow all our interviews on Fred.fm, on all of our social media. All of the most popular ones anyways.
Yeah.
Because MySpace, I found out since we last did the live.
Dead.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Come on.
Bebo doesn't exist either.
I never. So, what is that?
Thank you very much, and we'll see you soon. And from Matt Micucci
and Niccolo Comotti,
this is Fred Film Radio,
the festival insider. Wow.
Fred Film Radio 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.